Joy and Suffering, the El Paso Museum of Art's collection of Mexican retablos is on view now through September 1st. The exhibition focuses on the Virgin Mary in her many folk and formal manifestations. It includes ex votos, or paintings commissioned to commemorate miracles, and retablos santos, or paintings of saints and holy figures. Joy and Suffering illuminates not only the devotional culture of 19th century Mexico, but also the daily joys and sufferings of life. Today, my guest is Kevin Burns from the El Paso Museum of Art. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thanks for having me.
Geez, we get to talk about the joys and sufferings of life.
Of life. You know, just another small topic.
No drama at all. So tell us about our retablo collection. I know you and I have been talking retablos a lot lately. But I understand that we, when I say we, the museum.
Yes, it's our collection.
It is
course.
Our collection,
it
right?
Is.
happens to be home to the second largest collection of retablos.
That's correct. The second largest museum collection of retablos in the United States. We have a little over 1,000 retablos in the collection.
OMG.
So lots and lots. The exhibition on view now presents about 50 of them. 50 of some of the best examples, some highlights from the collection, as well as ones that have particular importance to our region here. But yes, we have very many to choose from and to look at and research and study.
So this is probably why you and I talk retablos a lot, because you can pull so many themes from this extensive collection.
Exactly. Just like you said, there's so many saints that are depicted, stories that are told, miracles that are recounted. There are almost too many examples to work with.
Too many miracles.
Too many miracles.
So now we're focusing on the Virgin Mary, who I love and I think everybody loves. How did you all decide to come to her in this particular one?
We looked at the Virgin Mary, or at least her manifestations, in different ways. So, for example, we have one large grouping in the exhibition devoted to Our Ladies. And as you may know, the Virgin Mary has been given very many titles.
That's right.
Our Lady, you know, Our Lady of Guadalupe, or Our Lady of San Juan de los Lagos, or Our Lady of Guidance. And that's one that I'd like to highlight a little bit. We have a really beautiful retablo on view of Our Lady of Guidance. And Our Lady of Guidance has been prayed to historically by those embarking on international journeys, by those crossing borders.
Our immigrants.
Exactly. Our Lady of Guidance is a very, very important saint for this region historically and even until today as people continue to cross.
Yeah, she doesn't get old.
Right? It's always relevant.
It's
always seems
always
to be relevant.
Always relevant. That is for sure.
Yeah, and I love that too. You know, these the works themselves are from the 19th and 20th century, but really continue to resonate today as you see them in person and think of these stories and how they would have been used every day.
So what does Our Lady of Guidance look like?
So she typically has a very large crown on her head, one that almost looks like a sun. So as if this beaming light or guiding light is being emitted from just above her head. So that's one of the easiest ways to recognize her.
And I imagine she was like that to help guide the way.
Exactly. Almost, yeah, like it's just a big light that you would follow and hopefully find safe passage.
Does she fall under the joy or the suffering part?
And that's a great question. So, you know, the title of the exhibition really explores how that's really intertwined with a lot of these images. You know, these saints and holy figures were prayed to in moments of suffering, but were also prayed to in moments of great gratitude and great joy. So, you know, we've talked a little bit about retablos santos, these depictions of saints, but they're also, like you mentioned, retablos ex votos in the exhibition. And those are paintings that specifically recount miracles in an individual's life. And again, tell stories of these joys and sufferings of everyday life. So there's one on view that shows a house on fire.
Okay.
And so a very dramatic retelling of this incident. And above the flames, you see in the sky the Virgin of Guadalupe. And below it, in handwritten text, it recounts the story of how a family was caught in their house. There was a fire. They prayed to the Virgin. They were saved and overcome with joy. And as an act of gratitude, they commissioned this painting and then would have then taken it to a pilgrimage site to honor the Virgin of Guadalupe and thank her.
Full circle in that
there.
One.
Yeah.
Joy, suffering, the whole
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. A lot of that intertwined.
Which I think, it just kind of, you can almost say that for most retablos, that cycle, that circle is there.
Yeah, absolutely. And even many of these retablos santos were placed on altars in homes, were used every day. They were very personal, private objects. And some of these saints were considered protectors or guardians of the home. And again, there's, you know, all that joy, suffering, daily life, and like you say, in each of these images.
How did the retablos go from being in everyday home to being in the museum?
Great question. So again, you know, these were mainly seen, you know, used and seen in homes in the 19th and 20th century, particularly these ones that were done on tin and copper. People do still make them today, though they're typically done on different media. So now they're really printed or done on paper.
Right.
Whereas, again, originally done in the home, how did they get to the museum? So we're so thankful that there are really many families in El Paso who have collected retablos, whether that means buying them throughout the States or in Mexico or using them themselves and amassing a collection. The Hamiltons, Rodericks, and McKnights have amassed these large collections, and we're so grateful to them that they've donated those to the museum. And now we can study the objects, continue to care for them, preserve them, and continue to present them to audiences.
Are they signed? I mean, are there certain artists that came of fame making retablos?
Great question. So there are some artists that we know. One, for example, Nicholas Enriquez, who made many retablos, but most of them are by anonymous artists. So these, again, were done not only in cities, but also in rural areas in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Often people had them made, again, for just daily use. They wanted a saint in their home. And being separated from big city centers, there weren't many artists practicing around. So really, families were commissioning amateur artisans, people who had no training. They would paint the retablo. And when you come see the exhibition, you'll notice that they do vary in their technique. Some are much, you can tell that they're done by a very trained hand, others by a hand that probably hasn't painted many things. And so that's why many of them are anonymous.
Our collection come mainly from those families?
Yes, as well as some other families who've also gifted retablos, but mainly through gifts of those families.
And it's my understanding that every now and again, our collection hangs out with the collection in Las Cruces.
The New Mexico State University has the largest collection in the United States. And of course, ours being the second largest, we have partnered with them in different ways, also for this exhibition. So Dr. Elizabeth Zarur, who teaches at NMSU and is herself an expert in retablos, contributed research and helped us look more closely at our collection and help curate and pick works that are now in view. So we do partner with them, yes.
Well, do you have them all memorized, or how does that work? Because it's 1,000 retablos.
Right. How do you? Thankfully, we have computers. So we do have an incredible database at the museum that allows us to see every single retablo and when it was made. If we know who it was made by, then we have that information. We have images of each one. And so thankfully, we can click right and left arrows and see all these together. And then having myself spent so much more time with them, many of them are now embedded in my head.
Yeah.
And
do you have a favorite? I mean, is that fair to say?
Oh,
does it depend on the day?
Yeah. I mean, of course, yeah, maybe it depends on the day. I think one of my favorite parts of the exhibition is just those X photos that tell these stories of miracles, because they're so powerful when you see this handwritten text by someone who experienced something traumatic and believe that someone helped them, and then they made this object to thank that person. It's just a really personal experience to look at them and spend time with them and read them. So I think just looking at the X photos has been one of my favorite parts of curating the show. And when I'm in the galleries, I find myself lost in front of those X photos, reading them again and again.
So you told us about the house that caught fire. Mm-hmm. What other stories are there?
Yeah, so there's one, for example, not all of them are legible today, but we can certainly piece together enough of the handwriting. And one of them just says, "My daughter fell out of a moving car and she survived." And it could be as simple as that. Others talk about, you know, very serious diseases that someone's grandmother is having, and it doesn't allow her to sleep or eat. The story goes that they prayed to a saint and the grandmother's healed. And so they definitely vary from house fires to car crashes to diseases to things like that.
So many, many miracles.
Many, 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 many miracles, yes.
Now, you've got talks and all sorts of other action going on around the exhibit.
Absolutely.
Tell us about those.
Sure. So on April 6th, we have an afternoon of art talks. It's called Painters and Pilgrims, Spanish Colonial Art and the Catholic Imagination in Mexico. We have two really great speakers that are joining us for that afternoon. We have, again, Dr. Elizabeth Zarur from NMSU. She's sharing some of her research and experience working on this exhibition. And then we're also very thankful to be bringing in Dr. Jorge Rivas Perez, who is the curator of Spanish colonial art at the Denver Art Museum. And he'll be flying in to talk about Spanish colonial art in general, devotional objects at home, and the importance of our collection here in El Paso.
He must just be in hog heaven when he comes here.
I believe he's going to be seeing all the incredible works we have here and seeing this new installation of Retablos. It's going to be a really exciting afternoon. And that's from 1 to 3, and it's free and open to the public.
Everything at the museum is free and open to the public.
Everything is free and open to the public. It costs nothing to come through the doors and see all the exhibitions we have on view and enjoy all of our great programming.
So along those lines, what else is going on in programming? I mean, we know we've got Retablos, but I know you've got a whole bunch of other stuff going on.
Of course, always a bunch of stuff. We have an exhibition of Antonio Castro, an artist from the area here, from El Paso, and that opens with a celebration on April 20th. We also are in the process of doing research to reinstall our permanent collection. So we will close our second floor galleries over the summer and reopen them in the fall. And all those works will be presented in new ways and with some works that haven't been seen in a very long time.
Now, I also know that all the museums in Texas are getting together here.
Yes. We have a conference in April, early April, that is basically, yes, a conference for museum professionals to learn best practices, whether that's, you know, how to properly store and care for art to how to interpret it and present it.
That's got to be exciting, you know, to be around your colleagues.
Absolutely. To see people from across, you know, our big state of Texas. We don't see each other too often.
I love that they're coming here.
Yeah, and it's great that they're coming here to El Paso, and it hasn't been hosted here in some time, so we're really happy that that's happening.
All right. Well, congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
The museum always has a lot of action going on, and today's no different.
Yes, no different.
That's right. Today, my guest has been Kevin Burns from the El Paso Museum of Art, and we've been talking about Joy and Suffering, the El Paso Museum of Art's collection of Mexican retablos. It's currently on view now through September 1st. Thank you so much for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you.